Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to an encore edition of the best of the New Wise Conservatism radio show due to getting new equipment for this show so we can put out a better product for you weekly. Enjoy this replay and we will be back next week better than ever before. Thank you for listening.
Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
State of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Hinners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you here today. Last week, I started my show with an advertisement of my new book that I had published a few weeks ago. It's a long time in the making, but it can now be gotten from several places. And the address that I gave last week is http://www.createspace.com/486-9187. And now from the new website that I have specifically for selling the book, and the addresses are I just put into the chat room. Only one of them actually came up as a link, and I'm not really exactly sure why. But check it out by the book. The article, the United States Constitution establishes the executive branch. Where does it say the president is king? The president of the United States is not supposed to be all-powerful or the final decision-maker in the federal government, as Obama seems to think he is. Our system is full of checks and balances. Even as the commander-in-chief, if he is abusing his power as the head of military operations, Congress can defund war efforts or impeach the president. In Article 2 of the Constitution, it states that the president is the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and the militia of the several states when into actual service in the United States. Some have argued that means he is only commander-in-chief when he is called into service to do so, but which is accomplished by a declaration of war. This is an erroneous belief. During the Constitutional Convention, specifically on August 17, 1787, the debate about presidents' war powers were discussed. In line with Articles of Confederation, the authority to wage war and the authority to declare war were considered separate powers. The president was given the power to wage war, and Congress was given the power to declare war, so the president cannot do this. This enabled the president to engage the Army and the Navy in war operations, if necessary, without congressional permission. The Barbary Wars were, for example, waged by Jefferson and Madison were undeclared wars. However, this power granted to the president does not extend to the militias. The president is only the commander-in-chief of the militia of the several states when the militia is called into actual service. Distinction was established so that the president could use military forces against foreign enemies if a quick and decisive decision was necessary, but not against the states or the American people. The standing army is not for domestic use. to suppress insurrections or repel invasions. That is what the militias are for. And the militia can only be put into action by Congress or state leadership. The president does not control the militias, nor does he determine when they can go into action. His only relationship with the militias is when they are called into actual service. Then, and only then, the president serves as commander-in-chief over them. Article 1, Section 8 states that Congress shall have the power to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. States cannot call their militia into action unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit the delay. Article 1, Section 10. Though the president is tasked with faithfully executing the laws of the United States as stated in Article 2, Section 3, he can do so with executive departments such as ICE, actual call for the militia, National Guard, state militias, unorganized border is the responsibility of Congress and the state leadership. So while people are waiting for President Obama to give his okay to secure the border with the National Guard or are critical of Governor Perry for disregarding the president's non-action regarding the border, we must remember what the Constitution says and where the authorities actually lie, because they don't lie where Obama says they do. You are listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. That's me. We are glad you are here on this July the 26th of 2014. Wow. I was just thinking about this a few minutes ago. July 26th is the day that I started in printing in 1976. It's been 30-some years ago now. It doesn't seem possible that much time has elapsed since I went into that field. And now, this whole thing about President Obama wanting to use executive orders to get things going the way he wants them to do, according to the Constitution, is not legal. And it's turning out that many, many of the things that Obama is doing is not legal. He doesn't want to follow the laws of the land like he is supposed to be doing. He doesn't want to do the things that the Constitution specifically states he does. In his mind, he is the king. He is not our president. He is not anything but a monarch who wants to rule over the people every way that he possibly can. I just got a thing on my weather thing for for this area, and it says a flash flood watch and thunderstorm is in effect for Jamestown and the surrounding areas until 8 a.m. Sunday. So if I suddenly disappear, the reasons is because we had a power failure or something like that because of the thunderstorms that are supposed to be rolling through. And it's been looking kind of gloomy here today. And I just went out to my studio to do the show out there, and I can't because something went wrong with my power system out there. And it's not really working right at the moment. I'm going to have to check that out when the show is over so that next week I can do my show out in my studio like I usually, but I've got noises in my phone today, so it's hopefully this is not going to be a problem for my show. Hopefully these noises that I'm hearing are not coming through the lines and going into the recording of the show. I can always keep my fingers crossed, I guess, as we continue on with our show. But with, you know, the one thing that we really have to keep in mind here is that the president is not all powerful like Obama seems to think he is. He constantly keeps the blame for everything that's going on somewhere else. He doesn't want it on his doorstep where it actually belongs. He doesn't want it on his doorstep because he thinks that none of us are smart enough to know what needs to be done. None of us are smart enough to know what will save this country and what will not save this country. He believes that we are all stupid morons who do not have the intelligence to do what is right. So we need powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing Obama. And the only problem with that is that the only person that I have ever known to be all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful is my God, Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I know darn good and well if I went and asked him about what is going on with Obama, he'd have some choice words to say about this man, as we are not getting out of him what Americans deserve. We've been telling you that conservativenationmedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup. I just kind of went off on a little tangent there. I'm not really sure what I was doing. We've been telling you that conservativenationmedia.com is making some changes, and one of those changes is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, which now airs on Tuesdays. Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America, and Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From the Laura Ingraham Show yesterday, she brought up a great point about the border crisis that not too many of our side is getting, and no one on the other side is. This whole thing that is going on at the border is all a fabrication of Obama's policies, nothing more. Here is what was said on her show. She played clips of liberals talking about how this mess at our southern border is nothing more than a refugee crisis, which it is not, by the way. And only three of our so-called conservatives get it. Jeff Sessions, Ted Cruz, and Marsha Blackburn. Marco Rubio doesn't get it, and if he wants any chance at the White House, he'd better get it. But right now, he doesn't. This refugee issue, where all the politicians are calling these illegal aliens as refugees, is very important to understand. By granting them rhetorical refugee status, and of course the overwhelming number of people who are here now came over the last 3 years alone when the real crush began, they're not refugees. They don't meet definition of a refugee on any common definition of what a refugee is. These people are already in the United States. They're seeking to get status here. They are not people who are fleeing a war-torn country or being driven out of their home, as we're seeing by the Iraqi Christians. Those people are refugees. That's a refugee status. So I'd say if we're going to take anyone in, take in those poor Iraqi Christians whose churches are being burned, whose priests are being beheaded. I hope you understand the difference going on down on our south border and what is really actually happening and what our president and the left and a lot of our side are saying is happening. We will be right back with more on this one.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Okay, back to the story from the Laura Ingraham Show about what the politicians are trying to do and about the three that actually get it. But these people aren't refugees. Call it, but it doesn't matter. Our political people call them refugees, but you, if you call it a humanitarian crisis on top of it, then what we have when it comes to the politicians is an amazing ability to spend money. You see where the Democrats are sitting on this one now? They love to spend money. And also, so do a lot of our guys on are supposedly who are on our side do too. But refugees, gosh, refugees, we got to give them asylum. Refugees, they got to stay here. They're refugees. A humanitarian crisis? We have to spend money. Don't bother me about the details. We need money. We need it now. On the show, she had Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee, and here is what transpired then. It's about 3 minutes and 38 seconds long. This is good.
Joining us now, Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. She represents the 7th district since 2003. She's a good friend of this program, and she has done what needs to be done when it comes to legislation on this. Namely, she believes that any legislative efforts that are responding to this current situation at the border needs to include a provision that limits the president's ability to use these deferred action executive orders, namely allowing people to stay in the country, expanding these categories of people who can stay, which is just amnesty by executive fiat. So Marsha smartly, along with Ted Cruz and Jeff Sessions, saying, we know exactly what you're doing here, and we're not going to stand for it. She joins us now. Congresswoman Blackburn, great to talk to you.
Good to be with you, and thank you for talking a little bit about the Deferred Action Children Arrivals Program, or DACA, as it is commonly called. And Laura, you're exactly right. This program needs to be frozen. Whatever happens, this program needs to be frozen. frozen. Because what the president is trying to do, as you have so rightly told your listeners, is to reclassify everybody as refugees. The New York Times had an article yesterday saying the administration is now discussing even going to Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala and setting up shop over there. See, this would be coming under the State Department, not under Border Patrol, and they would classify. The children would apply for refugee status over there and then be flown to the U.S. And then they would be declared refugees once they get here. Now, that means that they can apply for a job and a work permit, and it means that within a year they can apply for citizenship. So it is a complete reclassification of how they would be. It wouldn't be an unaccompanied minor or an accompanied minor or anyone who would be eligible for deportation. It would make them eligible for assistance as soon as they arrive in the U.S.
If everyone is listening to this show, I mean, I think people across the country hear this and they think, you've got to be kidding me. Now,
right.
And what Marcia's talking about is front page of the New York Times today, hoping to stem the recent surge of migrants to the southwest border, the Obama administration is considering whether to allow hundreds of minors, hundreds, thousands of minors and young adults from Honduras into the United States without making the dangerous trek. If approved, the plan would direct the government to screen thousands of children and youth in Honduras to see if they can enter the U.S. as refugees on an emergency humanitarian basis. Marcia, we have millions of Christians fleeing the violence in Iraq that you could say that the United States is a lot more responsible for than what's happened over the last several years in Central America, for goodness sakes. Those are true refugees from violence. This is just a new UPS. This is FedEx is setting up in Honduras, and they're going to FedEx a bunch of young adults. And this is patently transparent what's going on. They're just trying to import a new class of voters and a new class of low-wage workers into the United States.
Okay, now that I got from the Laura Ingraham show yesterday, and yesterday they were talking about how the New York Times had an article the day before, so yesterday being Friday, they're talking about as being yesterday, as Thursday. What we have going here is the politicians have figured out that all they have to do is make this whole thing a humanitarian crisis. It's not. They started out saying that these are refugees. They're not. The people, like I had said before, that are really refugees are the ones over in Iraq, the Iraqi Christians who are having their churches burned and their priests beheaded, and maybe even some of them beheaded because of their beliefs. Now that is a refugee. That is somebody we should be taking into this country, not the people coming in from Mexico who have decided that they want to be here because of President Obama's promises to take care of them. Human nature. You want to be taken care of by anyone who will do it for you, so you don't have to do it. Now, granted, most of us work for a living. Most of us take care of ourselves. But if it came down to, like, winning the lottery, how many of us play the lottery with the hopes that we can win millions of dollars and never have to worry about ourselves again? Wouldn't that be a nice way to go about things? Yeah, it would. But no matter what you do, even if you win millions of dollars, you still have to take care of yourself. That's just the way it goes, people. Obama wants us to, all he is going to take care of all of us. The government is going to take care of all of us. And that's where this idea, why all these people are streaming across the border, because Obama has let them know that what they are going to be doing, coming over here for a better life, and oh, sure that happens. No, that is not Obama's job. That has never been Obama's job. That is not the politician's job to take care of us. It never has been. And if you read the Constitution, it's not in there either. Place that something like that is at is in the liberal policy playbook. A book that probably really Democrats fall for and use every time they go to wherever they want to go to. If they want to bring refugees, so-called refugees, into our country and make Americans think that these people are so poor and destitute that they need our help, bring them in. Bring them in. Make them be American citizens. Make their lives better. Folks, country was founded with a way to get here. That is not the way. And our leaders right now are breaking this country by doing it the way they are doing it and calling this whole thing a humanitarian refugee crisis. On either point, do we realize just what we have done by electing this man? Of course we do. And so does the White House. The thing that's driving me crazy about this whole thing is Obama is doing things that are patently against the law, and yet we still have morons out there that will support him and everything that he is doing. But yesterday from ABC News, I got a breaking news report on my phone that said, breaking news, even the White House believes that impeachment is highly possible. But to me, that kind of statement makes Obama even more dangerous, and we haven't seen nothing yet. Believe me. But now my question here is, what in the hell are we doing? We have been telling Congress to do specific things to get rid of Obamacare and stop the mess at the border, and we have John Boehner stepping forward and telling all of us that there is no possible way that a vote to defund Obamacare is going to be done, and that the border crisis is just something that is made up to make the president look bad. Now, I am paraphrasing here, but you get the idea. We have only three in Washington now who are supposedly conservatives who know what is going on at the border. John Boehner denounced Ted Cruz over this. This should tell you that no one we have in Washington now gets the badness of what is happening, and no one wants to do anything about it. Only Ted Cruz, Marsha Blackburn, and Jeff Sessions are saying anything about it right now. Sadly, Mike Lee has been kind of silent. Pretty sure he's going to be saying something before long anyway. But if any of these so-called conservatives in Washington want to be elected to election, they had better get this and know that what the three I named a few minutes ago know. Marco Rubio, you have to see what is going on to be considered. John McCain, you too. These are things that need to be addressed, and like I said, no one but Marsha, Ted, and Jeff are doing anything right now about it. No wonder I keep saying that we are in trouble. We are in big trouble. The people who are supposed to be in Washington, D.C. right now, who are supposed to be there to represent us, are doing nothing of the sort. They don't care to represent us. We want they don't. We want things that mainly because what we want will save this country. We've got to stop allowing these politicians to tear this nation down as Obama has and the rest of the idiots in Washington that right now. We've got to stop them. And the sooner we do this, better off we will be more in a few moments. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com with the New White Conservatism Radio Show. And I'm Robert Garding, your host. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176 if you want to join in the fun. Speaking of the border crisis, there is more. A congressman has said that there can be a four-day plan to fix the problem that the president himself has caused. From WND Today, early today, came this one from Washington. That's what Representative Steve King of Iowa thinks about the plan fashioned by GOP House leaders to solve the border crisis. He believes it is an attempt to pass so-called comprehensive immigration reform by another name because not only does it not address the issue of amnesty, it would leave the door wide open for President Obama to extend amnesty to many more millions of illegal immigrants. Another big problem in King's eyes is the revised plan that came out of the GOP House meeting on Friday as a package or a collection of many different ideas. And he told WND, quote, a package has no chance of becoming law and has every chance of coming back to who knows what else hung on it. It all becomes an excuse for us to say we did something, unquote. Instead, the congressman offered his simplified plan to fix the border crisis in less than a week. And here's what he said. Monday, I would pass a resolution that was Representative Frank's idea, a Republican from Arizona, that says, these are all things the president did to cause this crisis, and this is what needs to be done to fix it. The National Guard should be called up by all the border state governors. Tuesday, I would send the Senate a fix to the 2008 bill that requires all minors from Central America to have lengthy judicial hearings before any deportation as a standalone bill. That would take the fig leaf away from the president and the Democrats. Even though it's not the cause of this problem, it will take away the excuse. He believes the prospect of amnesty is luring. The lure is because the president has told them that they can come here and he will do nothing to deport them. Come here and make yourself at home. And they are. Wednesday, I would send the Senate a standalone appropriations bill that gives funds directly to the states to send the National Guard to secure the border. Now, that one is a good one because, for one thing, the states are the ones who are in charge of that. I have a caller from the 424 area code. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you? It's Justin from Los Angeles.
Oh, how are you today?
Good. I was just listening to your program and decided to call in and voice my opinion, I guess.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you brought up a lot of good points about immigration and about our immigration policy, but generally what it all boils down to is that the U.S. immigration policy sucks, okay? Coming from California, we do have a border with Mexico, so we do deal with a lot of people coming in the border, and I'll tell you this. It's not that the borders are open. Illegals come in every single day. In fact, they're coming in right now as we speak. It's just that at this time, we have a larger amount arriving at the same time, and I think that that probably hasn't happened in a while, and that's where we're a bit shocked. The thing that a lot of these people, because to come illegally, it costs a lot to be guided by a coyote. It costs a lot. But the thing is, to get a visa, it's extremely hard, I think. That's why a lot of people, unfortunately, are turned off by that. They're turned off by the possibility that you're probably never, your likeliness of, I don't know, getting bit by a shark before getting your visa. And that's not just if you're from South America. A lot of our translators in Iraq who signed up are the reason why some of our soldiers were able to survive. They participated in combat for the U.S. and a lot of times where they've been in a shootout or they've been shot, and they were an essential part of, you know, our success both in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're being denied visas and they're being denied their refugee status to come over here. And so you just look and you see the U.S. immigration policy is really sucks because you have these interpreters who are trying to come over because they're at risk of these extremists coming in. And you look at these people who from down south are unfortunately turned to coming illegally because it's so hard to get a visa legally.
Well, you know, the problems that we're having with our immigration system right now is the government is not following the laws of it as set up by the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. They've decided that they've got to do it their way. They've got to do things like what they're doing now, calling this whole thing down there a humanitarian crisis, which gives them the idea that, okay, now we've called this that, we can throw money at it. Well, that's one of the things that politicians like more than anything else, throwing money at something or spending money when it really won't help. And that's where our problems are right now. They're working to solve a problem that if they just follow the laws of this country and follow the rules that had been set down in the first place, things would probably be a lot better. But they're just pushing their own ideals on everything, and their ideals suck. You were right. This, the immigration that the United States has got going right now is not the way it was set up, and it needs to go back to the way it was set up, I think.
Yeah, you made a point about this being called the humanitarian crisis, and I think the reason that is because a lot of, pretty much once you get south of the border, most of the world, not all of the countries down south, Mexico is North America, but pretty much Central America and below, or including Mexico, are third world countries. And a lot of these people are trying to escape poverty, looking for a better life. So I think that's why it's being called a humanitarian crisis, because these aren't people who have high school education or, you know, went off to university and been educated at a university and coming here to work in corporate America or something like that. These are people who are at the bottom of, you know, at the bottom of it, they live in probably in a zinc house, if that, and that's what they're coming here is for, a better life. And I think that's why it's being labeled a humanitarian problem or humanitarian crisis.
Well, thinking of it that way, it is a little bit, but it's if you take the definition of a humanitarian crisis, the real humanitarian crisis is, like I had said, the Iraqi Christians who are having their churches burned and their homes destroyed and their preachers, their pastors are being beheaded because their lives are being cut short in a lot of ways because they are being Christians in a Islamic world. Humanitarian crisis, not Mexico.
In Iraq, it's not just, I believe, Iraqi Christians. I believe it's also Iraqi Muslims and Iraqi Jews, or any Iraqis that are being targeted and are subject to extremists should be helped, and whether that be, you know, provide with protection or having them come here and seek a better life. I think that whether they're Christian or not, whether they're, you know, doesn't matter who you are, you got to help that person. I think that's something that we need to do.
Okay, I had a question passed on through my chat room where the grand plan is to import 30 million Latin Americans and change the demographic of the political structure of the USA. But how are we going to pay this when we're going broke in the first place? We don't have the money to pay for this kind of thing.
Well, I think that money, really, when you have one of the strongest armies, when you have the strongest army in the world, money will be something that you will either have or have not, or you can fight. You'll definitely have a way to settle your debts, if you will. And I don't think we're trying to import Democratic or liberal votes, because if we wanted to do that, we could make Puerto Rico a state, and that would automatically give us liberal and Democratic votes, and that would make a liberal majority in the House and along with the Senate.
Well, I'm not really exactly sure about that. I know that they've, and that's kind of...
There's been minor pushes, but there's not really large pushes. I think mostly when we have immigrants coming from, whether it be Mexico, Central America, South America, Africa, anywhere in the world, including Europe, it's for a better life. This is the land of the freedom. This is the land where you can pursue happiness. That is where you can follow the pursuit of happiness. You know, you can start from the bottom, whether it be, you know, cleaning hotel rooms or cleaning people's homes, and you can work, in theory, work your way up to maybe a millionaire or a billionaire. And I think that's why a lot of people come here.
Well, I have a hard break coming. I've got to stop for now. So, I thank you for calling, and I'm glad you're listening. So I'm going to have to go on my break now. So, I will talk to you after a while. Our local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCartney, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dose of old conservatism, history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com. And you are listening to the conservativenationmedia.com with the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. And I'm Robert Garden, your host. Imagine hearing this from the land of Oz, you know, Chicago, where you are not allowed to exercise your Second Amendment rights because they are now illegal. Well, this is from that very same city. Fed up with crime, some armed Detroiters have developed itchy trigger fingers, and Police Chief James Craig said lawbreakers are getting the message. Detroit has experienced 37% fewer robberies in 2014 than during the same period last year, 22% fewer break-ins of businesses and homes, 30% fewer carjackings, and Craig attributed the drop to better police work and criminals being reluctant to prey on citizens who may be carrying guns. Imagine that. Criminals are getting the message that good Detroiters are armed and will use that weapon, said Craig, who has repeatedly said he believes armed citizens deter crime. I don't want to take away from the good work our investigators are doing, but I think part of the drop in crime and robberies in particular, citizens could be armed. We've actually got one person in Chicago now who is actually lauding the idea that Chicagoans need to be armed. Detroit resident Al Woods, a self-described former criminal who is now an anti-violence advocate and author, agreed criminals are thinking twice about attacking citizens that may be armed. Imagine that. We will be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council. Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
We'll be right back.
From the Personal Liberty Digest comes this one that I mentioned earlier that was from ABC News. The White House is starting to take Obama impeachment threats seriously. I guess that means they may be listening to all of us, and if we call for his impeachment, his goons may be coming, but I digress. The White House on Friday said that it is taking Republican threats to impeach President Barack Obama seriously. White House senior advisor Dan Pfeiffer said that the threat of Obama impeachment would increase if the president takes executive actions to keep illegal aliens in the country. You think? He said the president acting on immigration reform will certainly up the likelihood that Republicans could contemplate impeachment at some point, Pfeiffer told attendees at a breakfast forum hosted by the Christian Science Monitor. Obama's longtime advisor also told the audience that the days of the administration laughing off impeachment talks have ended. The president's dismal polling numbers and a lawsuit against Obama promised by House Speaker John Boehner. Yeah, well, if he said something, I'll believe it when it happens. Polling data out this week from CNN slash percent of Americans support the idea of impeaching the president, and 41% said that the House GOP should move forward with a lawsuit against Obama. But according to the monitor, Boehner denied that his suit was designed to set the wheels of impeachment in motion. Of course, it wasn't designed that way. Boehner said this is a fundraising exercise for Democrats, Boehner's spokesman Michael Steele told the outlet. It is telling and sad that a senior White House official is focused on political games rather than helping these kids and securing the border. Other establishment Republicans like Senator John McCain have also denied that impeaching the president is a viable idea. And I remember going through an impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton, McCain said earlier this month when former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin called for impeachment. There are not the votes here in the United States Senate to impeach the president of the United States, and I think that we should focus our attention on winning elections. We win this election, we regain control of the United States Senate. We can be far more effective with an effort to impeach the president, which has no chance of succeeding. Okay, well, that essentially didn't really make sense. But other Republicans, however, have said the president's actions in dealing the nation's immigration problem could open the door to impeachment proceedings. He either enforces the laws on the books, as he was hired and elected to do, or he leaves. Congress has no option on this. If they followed the laws, this is not our choice. This is the president's choice, and I would advise him to uphold the law on the books, Representative Ted Yoho said in a recent statement. I think the best thing for America right now would be to figure out a way for the Republicans to start doing what the people want so we can stop this whole mess that's going on down in Texas and along the southern border, so we can stop all of this illegal immigration and the children coming over and having the government help find their illegal parents who are here illegally. If we could stop that kind of thing, then I think everything will be a lot better. But going on actually here in the United States is not trying to get these illegals in here to make them Americans. But Flycatch in the chat room said, put a good term here. The term we should be fostering is ethnic replacement. And I really think that is part of what is going on here. They want to replace the white race as the majority race. They want to bring in more and more people who they know will vote the way they want them to do. And if they succeed at this, folks, America will not be the melting pot that it was when it first started. People seem to forget that when America started, we had people from all over the world coming here, becoming American citizens, going through the process laid out in the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the land. We're not seeing that anymore. We just have people coming, streaming over our borders and our government saying, oh, this is a humanitarian crisis. We've got to help these people. Let's bring them in, coddle them, adopt them as Americans, and make them Americans right now, because if they don't, their lives will be crap. Well, guess what that's going to do to the lives of every American here? It's going to turn our lives into crap, too, and that's one of the things that Obama has been working on and working hard on to have happen since he became president, to bring America down to a third world status. He wants to tear this nation apart so he can rebuild it in his way. So that the blacks and the whites will be replaced with this invasion that he has worked so hard to bring about. And yes, Obama, I blame the politicians in Washington who will not do the right things. And right now we have a demonstration going on in Lynn, Massachusetts, where the illegals are demanding from the mayor amnesty. Do you see where this is going, folks? Do you see how bad this will be for this country if this continues? Cannot allow this to continue if we love this country and want it to stay strong like it has always been. We are allowing our president to fundamentally change this country so it becomes a third world country. And once that happens, there is nothing we can do short of armed revolution that will get it back. And we all know that our government has been hoarding hollow point bullets, hollow point... Why do they need these things? If you think about what's going on now, you will see why they need these things, because they know something is going to happen if they keep on the way they're going. The bottom line is we are paying for our own extermination by allowing Obama to continue, by allowing Boehner to continue to not listen to what the people here in the United States are telling them, by allowing our politicians to do what they say is right for the quote-unquote humanitarian crisis we have going on at the border. We are paying for our own extermination. Why do you think people in Murrieta, California rebelled at having the bin? Why do you think it's happening all over this nation? People are rebelling against having these people bust in. You know who's paying for all this, don't you? We are. Obama isn't. None of this is coming out of his pocket. But he's acting like it is. We will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show here on conservativenationmedia.com. Tune in for more.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm... I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs a budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Hi, I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors in the Obama nation, and we're proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we're being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, your host, Robert Garding.
Okay, I have just been collecting more information on what's going on, like China dumping children on our West Coast. I gotta look up and look that up, so maybe I'll have something like for that on my next show, and that ought to be an interesting article. A trio of gun stories over the last few days gives some insight into the unsteady and frustrating state of firearms in America, according to the liberal left. The first is news from the Fox Business Channel, which indicates that AK-47s may jump in both rarity and cost in the coming months due to rising economic sanctions in Russia, following another round of sanctions. Demand for Russian-made firearms like AK-47 rifle has picked up in recent days. The sanctions unveiled on Wednesday include Kalashnikov makers of AK-47s and Saiga Firearms. American companies are now prohibited from having Kalashnikov products imported into the U.S. According to the Treasury Department, new transactions with this company would violate sanction, while current AK-47 owners can keep or resell their products. The Treasury also said the distributors of an inventory of Kalashnikov firearms that aren't fully paid for should contact the Office of Foreign Assets Control. Well, this whole thing reeks of another attempt to get guns out of the hands of the people who have them or may have them. Already the sanctions have some visible effect on gun shop owners in the U.S. whose Kalashnikov inventories have been wiped clean by enthusiasts hoping to get in before prices skyrocket. And, you know, this is something that seems to be hilarity since Obama became president, prices skyrocketing on anything that the American public may want or wants to have. I think that is one of Obama's ideal things that he wants to make sure it happens. You know, anything that we the people want has got to be so expensive that we cannot afford it any longer. The longer the sanctions last, according to this, the rarer we can expect to see Russian-made weapons become. In the wake of the absence of the absence, copycat brands and secondhand sales will proliferate the market, driving prices higher and reducing the quality control surrounding some of the most popular firearms in the world. In Connecticut on Monday night, Chris Christie was forced again to address the subject of gun control, of course, a topic of conversation that drew attention away from his campaign support of Republican gubernatorial candidate Tom Foley. The 2016 presidential prospect was beleaguered by nearly 200 protesters outside a fundraiser, many of whom were angry about Christie's July veto of legislation that would have banned magazines able to hold more than 10 rounds of ammo. Speaking with a Newtown voter, Christie said, if you really want to limit mass violence in the country, you need to get at the mental health system in this country, which doesn't deal with these folks. Of course, while mental illness is the primary factor behind headline-grabbing mass shootings we've been seeing in recent years, that in itself only accounts for a tiny fraction of gun violence in America, our third story highlights on that fact clearly. In Chicago, over the weekend, at least 40 people were shot in a rash of gun violence, with one of the victims being an 11-year-old girl who was struck by stray gunfire. Four people are dead after the violence, much of which was a result of gang warfare. As RT.com reports, this latest round of violence comes hot on the heels of the July 4th weekend shooting that left 17 dead and as many as 60 others wounded. All told, at least 1,250 people have been shot in Chicago since the beginning of the year. An important corollary to the Chicago gun violence, of course, is that the city has become gun control laws in the country. You can't find a gun shop within the city limits, so they go outside the city limits to find them. If restrictions on handgun ownership are draconian, as the lawmakers can get without violating the Constitution, and this is ridiculous to say because they are violating the Constitution. Illinois remains the last state in the nation where private citizens cannot carry their guns in public regardless of provisions or clauses. Welcome to the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show. And I'm your host, Robert Garding, on this, the 26th day of July. Well, July is almost gone. August is almost right on top of us here. 2014, we're glad to have you here. Okay. Maybe history in a good way finally is being made. For so long we have seen a so-called president get away with breaking law after law because they do not fit his agenda. And for most of us here in the Richard Nixon, who had just one thing against him, and that one thing was nothing compared to what Obama got away with during the first few months of his first term, and yet nothing against Obama. His supporters would always say, "This is just wrong. He has done nothing wrong. Why do you hate the man so?" Well, this is just like I have been saying for years now. Obama is not fit to be president of this country. I don't care what color he is. I don't care what he looks like. Never was and never will be. Just because enough people were stupid enough to elect him means nothing. But now things are starting to heat up for the man, this man who has gotten away with so much that it would have destroyed any 10 presidencies if only the Constitution was being used here. Articles of impeachment of Barack Obama have finally been drawn up, even though I doubt that it will get anywhere in the Democratic-held Senate. It is a step in the right direction. I found the document on NorthAmericanLawCenter.com, and it starts out thusly: "Resolved that Barack Hussein Obama, acting president of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the Senate," which, of course, like I said, will not pass as long as Harry Reid is in there. goes on to say, the articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of all Hussein Obama, the acting president of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. And then it goes into Article 1, usurpation of the Oval Office via criminal identity. Going back to this one, which most have done everything they can to say, oh, no, if you guys believe in that, then something's got to be completely wrong with you. But it's prima facie evidence exists which demonstrates that Barack Hussein Obama has engaged in false personation and aggravated identity theft and in conspiracy to commit false personation and identity theft of high office and governmental power. No bona fide records of evidence presented by Barack Hussein Obama establishes his true identity, and voluminous evidence demonstrates that all of the documents presented by Barack Hussein Obama as proof of his identity and eligibility for high office are forgeries created for the sole purpose of deceiving the American people in his pursuit of political power. Additional prima facie evidence demonstrates that Barack Hussein Obama is using an alias and has a different lawful identity, namely Barack Hussein Obama II Barry Satoru or Barack Hussein Obama Sobarka. Evidence exists that demonstrates Barack Hussein Obama is using a Social Security number, none of which appears to have been issued in the state of Hawaii or that lawfully are attached to his legal identity, and that Barack Hussein Obama has concealed all of his bona fide sport residency, selective service, and previous employment records in an effort to conceal his true identity. Now, the document goes on to talk of things that he has done since taking office that were in violation of his constitutional duty to take care of the laws to, and that they be faithfully executed, and that he has prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice in that on January 20th, 2009, the person identifying himself as Barack Hussein Obama accepted the presidential oath of office on false and fraudulent pretenses before, during, and since his election in 2009 has made false and misleading statements under the oath of perjury to unlawfully accept the office of the President of the United States. He has withheld all determinative and material information concerning his true identity and evidence thereof from lawfully authorized investigative officers and employees of the United States under obligation to assure the people of the United States that he is the person he presents himself as and is constitutionally eligible to hold the office of president, which a lot of us still think he's not, and I'm one of them, although that will probably go nowhere. And four, he is engaged in approving, condoning, acquiescing in, and counseling witness with respect to the giving of false or misleading statements and documents lawfully authorized in investigative officers and employees of the United States concerning his true identity. Now, there are 10 things listed here, and I gave four. And true, none of them talk of the things he has done to break the law when it comes to the Constitution of the United States, like the ignoring of laws and in their place make up new laws to fit the dangerous things he has engaged in while president. But folks, this is a start. At least this is finally starting to happen. Everything that is listed here in this document are things that everyone who has mentioned stuff like this has been, you know, has been called birthers and birther conspiracies in an all-out attempt to shut us up. And for many of us, we shut up for fear of being labeled as someone who was a sore loser or something like that. In our sad attempts to be liked and admired by everyone, a feat that is humanly impossible to do, we have kept our mouths shut about all this and watched it all happen. Justification to us came in little bits and pieces from the mainstream media at times when they would slip up and actually tell the truth about something, only to, they said, was lauded as finally from the people, or they would just come up to another story to take our minds off of what they had just inadvertently printed. In Article 1 of the Articles of Impeachment finished with, in all this, Barack Hussein Obama has acted in a manner contrary to his trust as president and subversive of the constitutional government, to the great prejudice of the cause of law and justice, and to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Whereas Hussein Obama, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. There are four articles there. Article 2 deals with malfeasance, misconduct, and abuse from the of the Oval Office. And Article 3 deals with the aiding and abetting known enemies of the United States. And everyone knows through reports from the media and documents that have supported such things that Obama has indeed consorted with the enemy. He has, as I have reported in the past, members of the Muslim Brotherhood in his cabinet. People, before you come down on me for hating Barack Obama and doing everything I can to discredit the man, let me tell you one thing. I don't have to make anything up to discredit him. He is doing a fine job of that all by himself. And I can list U.S. code and their numbers to support what I'm saying here. Want examples? How about these? U.S. code 911. Whoever falsely and willfully represents himself to be a citizen of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisonment not more than 3 years or both. Code 912. Whoever falsely assumes or pretends to be an officer or employee acting under the authority of the United States or any department, agency, or officer thereof and acts as such in such pretended character, demands or obtains any money, paper, document, or thing of value, shall be fined under this titled or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. U.S. Code 1002. Whoever knowingly and with the intent of defraud, intent to defraud the United States or any agency thereof, possessed with any false, altered, forged, or counterfeited writing or document for the purpose of enabling another to obtain from the United States or from any agency, officer, or agent thereof any sum of money shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. There are many more, but I hope that you get the idea. Obama is not following our laws, nor has he protected them. Nor has he protected alone. I believe that he is a prime candidate for being impeached and then have all the monies that he has acquired during said presidency taken away. Now, I have a copy of this in front of me, and I can't help but think that this country cannot afford one more man like Barack Hussein Obama, let alone people who will bow down to his will, as most all in Washington are doing right now. We never could afford that, and now we can afford him even less than before. Time to get this needed thing passed through the Senate and then pushed on the man himself. His White House, after all, has finally admitted that impeachment is very possible. I wish we could make it mandatory. It's time for his removal from office and for us to bring back the America that was founded, finally. But like I said, as long as Harry Reid is in office, where he is, I don't think that will ever happen. And I ran a little over here, so I will stop at my quarter hour break, and I will be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen.
Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the latest issue of Newsmax magazine, we learned this month that Lois Lerner managed to contain her disappointment when she learned in 2011 that she had lost 2 years' worth of emails, forever told that her data was being sent to the hard drive cemetery, never to return. Lerner replied with philosophical equanimity, "Sometimes stuff just happens." Yes, the IRS is incredibly susceptible to stuff happening. First, it happened when the agency singled out the applications of conservative groups for special scrutiny and delayed their applications for tax-exempt status prior to the 2012 election. Then it happened when the IRS commissioner, Douglas Shulman, went before Congress in March of 2012 and denied that targeting was taking place. It kept happening last year when Lerner arranged to reveal the targeting via a planted question at a tax conference and proceeded to falsely blame a few rogue employees in the Cincinnati office. It's still happening now as the IRS failed to tell Congress about the missing Lerner emails until a few weeks ago. Now, I may be off track here, but I don't think so. The Democrats and some Republicans seem to have an impeccable ability for coming out with new ideas that seem on the surface to cover the problem appropriately, namely the missing emails. You see, I do not think they were missing, just made unavailable for public scrutiny. When that didn't help, I think they scratched the hard drive so that it would be gone. But again, I digress on with the article. There's so much happens at the IRS that top officials must routinely break mirrors, open umbrellas indoors, and spill salt. They set out to fairly administer the nation's tax laws, and through a series of bad breaks ended up applying them lopsidedly against their ideological enemies. They intended to cooperate fully and frankly with investigations into their unfair practices. Those circumstances beyond their supposed control, they haven't yet pulled it off. Lerner had her computer supposedly melt down in June of 2011 around the time that Senator Orrin Hatch and his representative Dave Camp asked the IRS about its treatment of the primary donors of one conservative 501 group. In retrospect, one of the first signs of targeting conservatives, that the emails were lost beyond recovery will strike most people as implausible, because it is practically an axiom of modern life that emails never go away. It's entirely possible that the IRS is so incompetent that its bureaucracy so archaic, using tape to back up emails, for crying out loud, that it can't manage to preserve what most people can't get rid of. This, in fact, amounts to the IRS's best defense. But folks, the IRS was hard at turned when the scandal broke was to try to cover up the role of Lerner and other Washington officials who were intimately involved in the targeting. As for the missing Lerner emails, the House Oversight Committee requested them last year, then subpoenaed them twice. No one at the IRS bothered to mention then that some of them no longer existed, which brings me back to my original thought here. They aren't lost, just conveniently misplaced. They know where they're at. According to what was found, the emails in question at the IRS have been apparently recovered, but the ones to other agencies and outsiders have not. When IRS Commissioner John Coach Congress in March, he couldn't bring himself to let anyone know there might be a problem with emails. Even if the destruction of Lerner's correspondence was an innocent coincidence, all of this reeks of bad faith and in itself is scandalous. We aren't talking about getting to the bottom of wrongdoing at the U.S. Board on Geographic Names or the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. We have to remember this is the IRS, intrusive and demanding agency of the federal government. Yet it can't straightforwardly cooperate with an investigation into misconduct that, once upon a time here in America, outraged even the President of the United States. As time passed, President Barack Obama has grown much mellower about this little unpleasantness at the IRS. He could order the White House and every other agency in the government to undertake a search for emails received by Lois Lerner tomorrow. They're there, believe me. He could order the director of the FBI to undertake a forensic review of what happened to them. Instead, he is clearly hoping that the IRS scandal becomes another Benghazi, a watchword in the press for an irrational inability of Republicans to, quote, move on, unquote. Republican investigators will, regardless, and rightly so, keep asking questions, knowing it's rotten luck the IRS won't be able to answer. Again, I think the IRS can answer these questions, but again, decides it's best for them not to. To make up for another story, to cause another hit scandal to rock the nation's government, anything to do as Obama does, make sure the blame lies elsewhere. That is the big thing in Washington, D.C. now. The blame has to lie elsewhere. What we have to start realizing here, folks, we will be right back after these important messages. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on the rail. And I really hope that's coming. But in the meantime, what are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from emergency food supplies to patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're listening to the New Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our host is me, Robert Garding, and our call-in number is 718-305-7176. Boom! Israeli strike kills Islamic Jihad leader. Yahoo! From the New York Times came this one, originally found at Girls Just Gotta Have Guns. Israeli forces killed a leader of Islamic Jihad's military wing and two of his sons early Friday with an airstrike on their home in southern Gaza Strip. As the Palestinian death toll topped 800 in the battle's 18th day, a 36-year-old reservist also fell in combat in Gaza's north, the military said, bringing the number of Israeli soldiers killed over the past week to 33. A statement from Islamic Jihad, which has been fighting Israel alongside the Islamist Hamas movement, said that Salah Abu Hassanin, 45, a spokesman for its militia brigade, and his sons, aged 15 and 12, were killed in the entrance to their home in the southern city of Rafah. The Israeli military highlighted the attacks against Mr. Hassanin and eight other operatives in the Islamic Jihad and Hamas, it said, had been killed in recent days amid international outcry over the civilians killed Thursday at a school where they had sought refuge. The thing that really bothers me about this whole thing going on over in Israel is that government, as leaders of Israel's greatest ally, throwing Israel under the bus on this one. They're saying Israel does not have the right to be doing this. Well, let me put it to you this way. What if Washington, D.C. was being bombed daily by Hamas? And our defenses will keep most of it out daily. Washington, D.C. is being bombed. Would we want to retaliate? Of course we would. Our homeland is being bombed. Our homeland is being attacked. That's an act of war. And Kerry gave Israel the green light because the money we promised Hamas could not be found. Well, you know, Kerry is another one of these idiots have a clue about anything. But I think Israel's right to defend themselves is a clear and open thing for people to see if they would just stop and look at it here. We'd defend ourselves if we were attacked daily. And it seems that that little fact that Israel is being bombed daily seems to slip through the cracks. Nobody thinks about this part of it. Israel just doesn't have the right to defend herself. Israel is the best military and most restrained government, and the U.S. are the armchair quarterbacks. Israel is in charge of this one. Plain and simple. And people don't like this. Hamas is crying foul because they are being decimated by a good military that is not afraid to defend themselves. Because since America's backing off of everything, and America's such a great big country, and we're so strong, our president is saying, oh, we can't do that. We can't close our borders because it would be wrong to do. They think Israel should be doing the same thing. My ideas on this whole thing is that Israel, kudos for what they are doing. They are defending their land. They are defending their country. And they are winning the battles. And everybody's crying, oh, boo-hoo, we're being killed off because Israel's too powerful. Well, you should have thought about that before you started bombing them. Throughout Israel's history, Israel has had to defend themselves. They are good at it. And if somebody doesn't want to be lambasted all over the battlefield, then they need to stop attacking Israel and stop bombing them. I think it's wrong when the United States tells Israel, oh, you can't do this. And Obama tries to tell them, oh, we've got to stop doing what you're doing. You're killing people. Well, so what? If these people want to attack Israel and keep bombing their country, then they have it coming to them. Yeah, and it was mentioned in the chat room, too, that they are not just defending their land. They are doing it with great tolerance. They are allowing a lot to happen to their country that shouldn't be allowed. And most of it is probably because of the international community saying, oh, you can't do this. You can't defend yourself. You can't kill so many people. That's not right. Israel has every right to defend herself, country, wholeheartedly. The ones that really bother me are the politicians who say that Israel doesn't have that right to defend herself. Because if you turn around and come right back to America and look at what their ideals on are on Israel, you'll see them here on America too. We don't have the right to defend ourselves. We don't have the right to close our borders to people streaming into this country illegally. We don't have that right. Borders are archaic. Borders should not be there. Borders should not exist. For every other country in the world, for the United States. We can't do the same things for illegal streaming into our country that Mexico does to illegals that go into their country. Remember, we have a sergeant who has been in prison in Mexico for quite a while now because he made a wrong turn somewhere and ended up in Mexico for a little bit with a gun in his truck. Can you imagine the hell that would be raised if we did the same thing to a Mexican citizen who came over accidentally into America with a gun? Throw him in jail. See what happens. The Mexican government would come unglued. But the really sad thing about this whole thing is that Barack Obama has not said a word. He keeps telling us that, especially when this whole exchange of terrorists for a traitor from a month ago or so, when he said, I will not leave an American soldier behind. I will do everything to get him back home. Well, what's happened to this soldier we have in Mexican prison now? Surely Obama knows about this guy. Surely Obama knows that he's down there. Neither here nor there. I'm too stupid to know what I'm talking about. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design on Mondays now. Remember, he was on Sundays following the Michael Berryman show, but now he's on Mondays. He has taken the place of Inside Tennessee, who has moved to Tuesday. So now we have Ding Fisher's show, American by Design, on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. Give a listen. It's on a really good show on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. In a move that should shame every American, thousands take to the streets in New York City in protest of Israel protecting herself. What a shame. Thousands of people took to the streets of New York City on Friday evening to protest Israel's offensive in the Gaza Strip and demand an end to the violence that has reportedly killed nearly 850 Palestinians. I just got through talking about this. Boo-hoo. Israel is protecting herself. This is nothing more than any of these idiotic people who are out in Washington, New York City protesting Israel, defending herself. This is nothing more than they would do if suddenly their homes were attacked by someone. It's illogical thinking. And I was talking a few minutes ago about that sergeant who is languishing in a Mexican prison now, and Obama not doing a damn thing about it. There was a point brought up in the chat room where an American sneaks into Mexico, goes to prison. A Mexican that sneaks into America gets welfare, education, health care, housing. And worst of all, they can even vote. This country, it's going to hell in a handbasket. And no one seems to want to stop it. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do we start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
And finally, we here at New Wise Conservatism Radio want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. There were so many that I had to think about when it came to this segment as to what to talk about. The days of having common sense and integrity seem to be in the past now. There are too many people around nowadays that do not seem to possess either one of those traits. And the sad part is, we are electing some of these same people to office. Barack Obama has, for the most part, been protected from the things he is doing to this nation by the people who elected him and the media who lay in the same bed with him, figuratively speaking. Things seem to be falling apart for him now, a little bit anyway, along with others that follow him. And I've reported on several of them today and usually hit at least one of them a week. Harry Reid, to me, is nothing more than a senile old man who can't figure out what is right and what is wrong. And like Barack and like Biden, he gets it wrong most of the time. But the problem, as I see it, is the American people and their inability to check things out before they let their hearts lead them in ways that they should be going. Told everyone that he was not going, that he was going to promise hope and change, and many believed him. And though now even the ones who were so adamant that he was the new Messiah are finding out that trouble is America has had to suffer the consequences of that election when he was voted in as president. And even after everything that has happened to America since he became our hope and change Messiah, we are still finding out that his hope and change is not for us in any good way, only for like illegal aliens or our enemies. Remember that woman who during the campaign of then-candidate Obama was saying that she was going to vote for Obama because he was going to give them hope and change and she would have her mortgage and her gas bills paid? Well, now she is saying that that hasn't happened. Oh, boo-hoo. As a matter of fact, things have gotten far worse for her and her family as they are really struggling because the cost of both those items has skyrocketed along with almost everything else except your wages. And I look at that and I say, oh, well, isn't that exactly what he told us would happen? You weren't listening to your heart and leaving your head and reason out of the mix. We now have to suffer the consequences of Obama's ideals when, if they had listened in the first place, he told us exactly what he was planning to do. Now America is $17 trillion plus dollars in the hole with other countries, and if you ever figured that amount out with interest, it is something that may never, most likely will never get paid off. And the ones stuck with the paying of it for their entire lives are our kids. So then the next time you hear Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi talk of Republicans' war on women or their war on children, think about what they have done to our future generations and our children. They will never be able to live, been able to up until now, because they will be suffering under the burden that Obama himself put them under, a staggering debt that is impossible to pay off. And it will have to be paid, folks. Our generation won't be able to do it because we are at the end of our working lives. Our kids haven't started theirs yet. And they will be the ones paying for Obama's extravagances. Now, it isn't fair to lay this all on Obama's doorstep, as the presidents and the governments before him did their share. But Obama has spent more money than every other president before him, from Washington to George W. Bush inclusive. So I do lay most of the blame at his doorstep, while he lays the blame on the Republicans for not allowing him to do more to us. True, though. That was after the election when John McCain said he was glad it was over and now they could proceed to work together. Obama told him, "No, John, I won, you lost. Elections have consequences." How true. For we are now living those consequences. We have even heaped more on top of that because we were stupid enough to elect Obama to a second term while keeping people like Pelosi, Reid, and others in office. When are we going to wise up after this nation has gone past its point of no return? That long, but if we're going to do something about it, it's going to have to be soon because we're almost there. I've run out of stuff that I had set up for today. Closed the show a couple of minutes early. Our lineup of shows on CNM Now have some great ones where we start the week on Sundays with the Michael Berryman Show, which is the old soldier of patriotism, airing 4 to 6 on Sundays. American by Design has moved to Mondays with Bing Fisher and is now on from 6 to 8 Eastern Time. Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance is now on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 Eastern. And I think actually I put American by Design 6 to 8. It's 8 to 10 also. The Real Radio Free America with Duke Brooks airs on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. On Thursdays, we have the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matt 10 Eastern. Of course, on Saturdays, you have yours truly, the infidel behind the silver CNM microphone of freedom with the voice of reason but this, in this unreasonable world. CNM is growing, and we hope that everyone tells all their friends and acquaintances about our great shows and our great lineup. America now needs all the help she can get, and she needs a lot of help, believe me. And Conservative Nation Media has the shows to help that happen. We must never accept the world as we see it, but as God meant it to be. I am determined to always help from returning us to the recipe that made America great. That means being active in what this country needs, not sitting on my couch and complaining as I watch things happen. That won't help us this, you know, in this nation at all. And I just applied for a job to help with the state in the conservation of states. And I'm going to be doing my part and probably doing a lot of speaking. We must actively change culture, for that is where the liberals have it over us for now. I know this can be done. Until next week, God bless you all and have a great week. And thank you for coming in and listening. Bless you all.